He who is in you than he who is in the world. We look here at this event in Mark chapter 5, and it's important to remember the context. Because Jesus had just led his disciples into a storm on the sea. Yes, he told them to get into a boat and to go across the lake. And in the middle of that lake, they hit a tremendous storm and they thought they were about to die. And he did that because he was teaching them. He was teaching them, first of all, who he is by showing his authority and his power when he calmed the stormy sea. Just prior to that, he had been teaching with authority and healing the sick. And now he would powerfully show once again his authority in the spiritual realm. You have an outline there in your bulletin, and it should give you the main idea, and that is that we're called to share the good news. Jesus came to set us free from the enemy who would bring us into bondage and seek to destroy us. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. First of all, we see this man and a picture of humanity. Humans are in bondage spiritually. We see the desperate need of fallen humans in the situation that this particular man, this demonized man, is in. The scripture says they came to the other side of the sea, to the country of the Gerasenes. And when Jesus had stepped out of the boat, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. Now, first of all, remember that they had just come to the other side of the sea. They had passed through the storm as Jesus had directed them. And immediately, they meet this man here on the other side of the sea. Now, remember the context. Jesus had been involved in ministry to the multitudes on the other side of the sea. And he directs his disciples to get into the boat and to go across the lake. And here, as soon as they get out of the boat, immediately they encounter this demon-possessed man. And Jesus casts out the demons and he's healed. And then what happens? They get back in the boat to go across the lake. As far as we know, this encounter with this demon-possessed man is the only miracle, the only thing that happens on the other side of the lake. Things happened along the way. Jesus was revealing himself and teaching the disciples and deepening their faith. And he continues to do that here, no doubt, in this scene. But particularly, he came across the lake to meet this man and to set him free. He had a divine appointment that he needed to take, that he needed to keep. This one miserable soul. But God had a plan for his life. And he met with Jesus. And his life was transformed. Now we see other cases in Scripture that show us similar kinds of things where someone goes out of a seemingly prosperous ministry to meet with one individual person. The one event that came to my mind was the story of Philip. You remember that? As he was ministering among the Samaritans and the Samaritans were believing and coming to faith in Acts chapter 8. And the Lord spoke to Philip and said, "Go down to the desert, to Gaza." Now, what would you have thought if you were Philip? Here I am in the middle of this prosperous ministry. All these Samaritans, they need to be saved and discipled. And you want me to go to the desert? But he obeyed and he went. And in the desert, he encounters one man, a eunuch, on a chariot, returning to his home in Ethiopia, reading aloud from the prophet Isaiah. It was a divine appointment. Do you understand what you're reading? God sent him to meet with that one man, and he explained that the prophet was talking about Jesus, and he got saved. And they even somehow in that desert found water, And he was baptized. And he went on his way. It was a divine appointment. He was sent there to meet with, to intercept that one man. God had a plan. Here, Jesus brings his disciples across the lake. They leave the multitudes, thousands of people, so they could encounter this one demon-possessed man and set him free. God had a plan. Now, thinking about that, he has a plan for every one of our lives. Every encounter that we have is not by chance. None of them are by chance. God has placed us exactly where we are, and he knows what's going to happen this afternoon. He knows that the people that we're going to sit next to at lunch, he knows the people that we're going to encounter on our visits, whatever we're doing this afternoon, God knows exactly what it is. And he has planned for you to meet with those people. There are opportunities that we have, and we need to be sensitive to those. To those divine appointments when God sends us as his ambassador to meet with someone and to be sensitive to the opportunities that he gives us to speak about Jesus. Richard Kane is a good example to me and I know to many of us in our church. He's always sharing about Jesus. Always telling about somebody that he met and how something that they said somehow turned into a springboard for him to point to Jesus and to be a light in the darkness. We need to learn from that kind of an example and be sensitive, be praying for those kinds of opportunities to be light, to speak for him. Here Jesus brings his disciples across the lake and they encounter this man who is infested, not possessed by a demon, he's infested with demons, right? A whole legion of demons. It's probably ever since the book The Exorcist came out around 1970, 1971, something like that, that it seems like movies and books and these days video games have sensationalized the occult and the demonic. Demons have been around for a lot longer than that. We read about the prince of demons, Satan himself, in the garden confronting Adam and Eve. There's no doubt that demon possession still happens. I think these days, there are some cultures, like down in Haiti and in some parts of Brazil, where in certain of the spiritist religions, they're inviting spirits to come into their bodies. And essentially, it's exactly the same thing. It is demon possession, and they're inviting it for what these demons can do for them and the help that they can give them in their lives. And it's the deception of the enemy. I think in our modern society, it still happens. We explain it away in other terms. It's mental illness and the like. Demons are still real and they are still active. And more than the fact of just demon possession and demon oppression, the entire world, Scripture tells us, is under the deception of the enemy. In 1 John chapter 5, verse 19, the Apostle John says, "The whole world lies in the power of the evil one." When he wrote his letter to the Ephesians, Paul was describing himself and all of the believers to whom he was writing. And he's saying where they were in their life B.C., before Christ, before they trusted in Jesus. And this is what he says in the opening verses of Ephesians 2. He said, "You were dead in your trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of the flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind." Like the rest of man, all of them, all of humanity, if they're not in Christ, unwittingly, they're servants of the enemy. That's a bleak position. Dead in sin, he describes here, following Satan, living to please our sinful nature, and children of wrath, destined for judgment. It would be bleak, but for the gracious intervention of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. The next verse in Ephesians says, but God. Aren't you thankful for the buts? Those contrasts that we see in Scripture. This is what you were. This was your position before. But now, but God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which He loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. God has rescued us from bondage. He set us free in Jesus. That's amazing grace. This man had a pretty extreme case of demon possession. A legion of demons infesting. And he had supernatural strength that he couldn't even be restrained. He was cutting himself with stones. Not only was this man a terror to people who saw or heard him, but he was isolated. He was out among the tombs, living among the tombs. He was far from his family. He was or crying out in the mountains, it says, night and day. He was in bondage. He was enslaved. And he was helpless to free himself from his tormentors. Whatever the demons had planned for this man, it's clear they wanted to keep him isolated. He was out there all by himself. And seemingly they were bent on destroying him. He was cutting himself and the like. And that pattern has persisted from the time of the fall. Satan led Adam and Eve into sin. He brought isolation into their lives. Isolation from each other. And also isolation from God. God had warned that sin would bring death, but Satan said, no, do what you want. Eat the fruit. It's attractive. And you'll be like God. He was bent on destroying the pinnacle of God's creation. These humans who were created in the image of God. We live in a fallen world. And the whole world, Scripture says, lies in the power of the evil one. If we belong to Jesus, Satan is the enemy, and he goes about like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. He's an ancient foe. He's been watching humans for a long time, so he knows our weaknesses. He knows where we're vulnerable. But we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. That battle has already been won. We can have victory in Jesus. If God is for us, who can stand against us? That's good news. And that's the message that He has entrusted to us to share. Jesus came to set us free from the enemy, to restore our relationship with God, and to give us life. Secondly, Jesus came to rescue us and set us free. And He alone is able to meet our deepest need. It says that when he saw the demon-possessed man, when he saw Jesus from afar, he ran and fell down before him. And he was crying out in a loud voice. He said, what have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? Once again, the demon-possessed man recognizes who Jesus is. And the point here is that Jesus came to rescue this man from the demon. It seems that the demons immediately recognized Jesus. He ran to him and fell down. And as I read that, it's an unusual word here, and some of the translations might reflect it. It's the word proskuneo, which is normally translated worship. In other words, he was falling down before Jesus, recognizing his superiority. Excuse me. Recognizing who he is. So he falls down before him. As I thought about that, well, this word seems strange in this context. But then it made me think of that reference that Paul makes to the Philippians, and again he repeats something similar in Romans, when he says there's a future day that's coming when every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And here we see even this demon-possessed man recognizing and confessing who Jesus is. For whatever reason, the legion asked Jesus to send them into the pigs. Could it be that they were hoping for the reaction that they got? Remember the people, what did the people say in this context? After Jesus casts out the demons and the pigs run down into the sea, the people are afraid. And they see what happens. They see the destruction of the pigs. And for that moment, they want to be separated from it. Leave our country. It's really amazing that here the pigs go down into the sea. The pigs are destroyed. And are they fearful of more loss of property? We don't really know. I think they're fearful of the supernatural, of whatever is happening here at that point. Well, thank you, Al. You must be getting a little aggravated. I'm getting help from all sides over here. Now, if someone else has a nice big piece of bubble gum, I'll be just right. Well, here we see this man, the demons being cast out, and it seems the entire trip across the lake was exactly for this encounter. This man set free. Let me think about the fact that Jesus came, went across the lake, went through a storm to set this man free. We think about the fact that the same Jesus left heaven and came to this earth to pass through the storm that he would pass through, the passion, whipped, beaten, mocked, spat upon, nailed to a cross. He did it to set us free, so that we could have life. If the Son, therefore, shall set you free, you'll be free indeed. We see the final section here. We're called to be his witnesses. The herdsmen ran away. They reported what had happened. The people came back and saw the man that was healed. And verse 17 says, they began to beg Jesus to depart from their region. And as he was getting into the boat, the man who had been possessed with demons begged him, same word, that he might be with him. It's interesting, the play on words that happens here. The demons beg Jesus not to send them out of the country. And the same word is then repeated. That's from verse 10. And then the inhabitants of the country beg Jesus to leave the country. The demons beg to be sent into the pigs, in verse 12. And the healed man begged to be with Jesus. Jesus had another plan. This time, being a disciple didn't mean going with Jesus in the boat back across the sea. He had something for this man to do. And we read about it in verse 18 and following, when he tells the man, he does not permit him to get into the boat. Verse 19, he says, go home to your friends and tell them how much the Lord has done for you and how he has had mercy on you. Go and tell. I quoted before something that D. James Kennedy always used to say. He used to say that Satan's greatest victory has been to convince the church that the mission and ministry is the work of a few. It's the work of missionaries, like the Cain's friend, or the work of pastors or evangelists. That's been a victory for Satan because God never intended it that way, right? The entire church is to be mobilized. And this man who is healed and who is sent home to tell his own people about what God had done for him is an example of every man, who's every man and woman who has been set free from bondage to Satan. God saved us for a purpose. However it was, there was a divine appointment where somebody was sent into your life, where you turned on a radio station and you heard a message, or you walked into the church and heard something shared with you, or somebody talked to you along the way. You met Richard Kane at the doctor's office. Whatever it might be, somebody shared the good news with you. And that divine appointment was planned by God so that you could hear and believe the message. And it's not simply to then have a life insurance policy that you know you're going to heaven. It's so that you could be a part of His church and that you could have a part to carry out in His mission. His word to each of us would be, go home, go to your own people, your family, your friends, your co-workers, your neighbors, and tell them the truth. Your life is different because God has rescued you. He has set you free. And let them know that He would do the same for them if they will admit their need and turn to Him in faith. We need to share the good news. Jesus came to set us free from the enemy. He came to rescue us. The one who would bring us into bondage is defeated. We can have life in Jesus. If the Son, therefore, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Let's look to Him together in prayer.